Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Kings. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I had a wonderful treat this past week. On Wednesday morning, I got to meet my friend, Professor Scott Brown, at the Kummer Museum, where he gave me a personal tour of a new exhibit. Scott and I are going to be on a panel commentating on this exhibit. It is called The Mother of Sorrows. Have any of you seen this exhibit yet? Oh, good, someone has. It's extraordinary. It is art from the 14th and 15th centuries, depicting Mary in pain, in agony, I should say. And there are other scenes in which Jesus hangs on the cross, or in which they're lowering his body to be buried. And I got to spend an hour and a half with this brilliant art historian, who is helping us teach the Bible challenge here at the cathedral. And we walked by these paintings and gazed upon them. And it struck me how incredible it is that God allows us to see the divine in pain. As we move our way through the Old Testament, we've reached one of the greatest prophets, Elijah. Elijah was so loved by God that he doesn't really even die. He's lifted up in a chariot of fire into heaven. And he resurrects a little boy from the dead, and he multiplies food for a widow who's starving. The man is amazing. And in every way, he is favored and chosen by God. And so you'd think that his life would be good, you know, being chosen by God. But Elijah suffered a lot. He was lonely. He didn't have a home. He had to tell the king that he wasn't behaving. And at times he had to run for his life, not knowing if he would be murdered or not. At one point in the scripture, Elijah is so exhausted and so depressed that he lies down under a tree and he begs God to let him die. "Just let me die," he says. You would think that someone so chosen, so anointed by God, would be happy, but it wasn't the case. No, Elijah suffered greatly. And in this scene that we read from 2 Samuel, you see that Elijah is going to die. But he's not going to die in the way you and I will die. And his disciple, Elisha, says, "Lord, before you go, I want to inherit a double share of your spirit." Haven't you felt that way with someone who you love who's died? You want them to live in you. You want a part of their spirit, their heart, to be inside you, living on. I love how this disciple Elisha says, "Give me a double share of your spirit. I don't just want some, I want double what you've got." And Elijah says, "Well, that's really hard to give you that. But I tell you what, if God permits you to see me die, if you're there when I die, then you will inherit my spirit." And so Elisha is there when Elijah is lifted up to heaven, and he cries out, "Father, Father," and he tears his clothes and he pours dirt all over his head. I love how they did that, don't you? We get all dressed up and pretend that we have it all together when someone we love has died. We should be tearing our clothes and pouring dirt on our head. It's much more honest. But because Elisha is present and sees his master die, even though it hurts to see him die, he inherits the spirit of the prophet. Most people, when someone they love is dying, they also want to be there for the last breath of their loved one. And I often have to counsel people and tell them that, in my experience, sometimes someone will choose to die with all their loved ones around them, but it really depends on their nature. If a person is introverted, for example, if they're fundamentally a private person, they will often wait until everyone has finally left to go out to lunch or to go sleep, and then they'll die when no one's there. And then their relatives will be bereft. But it really has to do with the fact that they were just too introverted to pass in front of anyone. But nevertheless, I think most people want to be present at the last breath of the person they love, because we too sense somehow that that is a sacred moment, and that perhaps in being present in that final breath, we too might inherit a piece of their spirit. We could be closer to them somehow than before. When John saw Jesus walking towards him, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God. A lamb was slaughtered on the altar as a sacrifice to God. To say that Jesus was the Lamb was to say, this is someone who will be sacrificed. This is someone who's going to suffer. You know, Americans, we want to seem like we have it all together. But when you admit to someone that you love that you're in pain, when you share your pain with another human being, you give them a piece of your spirit. God is very present when that happens. And if we worship together, but we never actually share our pain with one another, we are not being church fully. God is present when you open your heart to someone, when you allow them to see your pain. If you think about it, Jesus allowed every one of us to be there when he took his last breath, didn't he? He let us see him die. And he let us write about it and make paintings about it for centuries. And in doing so, he was allowing us into the heart of God, sharing a piece of God's spirit with us. And tomorrow we remember Dr. Martin Luther King. One of the reasons he stands out so much as a witness to us is because we watched him die for what he believed in. And when he died, we inherited a piece of his spirit. We couldn't deny justice and righteousness for all races anymore because he died right in front of us for that reason. There is a book called Open Secrets, and in it there is a rabbi who is the lone survivor of a shipwreck. Everyone else drowns, but this one rabbi survives. And they ask this rabbi, Akiva, how did you survive with all those huge waves? How were you not sucked under and drowned like everyone else? And the rabbi said, when the wave came, I would bend into it. When the wave came, I bent into it. Now, you all are beach people, you Floridians. And I'm a beach person now, I know, because I'm freezing today, aren't you? But when we go swimming in the ocean, don't you know, as I know, that when a big wave comes, you don't want to ride it all the way up and down. And you don't want to try to run away from it. You bend into it, into the heart of the wave, and you let it wash over you, right? That's how you stay strong and move through the wave. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that you and I are going to suffer in this life. We cannot avoid pain. It would be like trying to walk between the raindrops. We live in a broken world. You are going to hurt, and so am I. And I know you don't want to. I don't want to either. But when the pain and the suffering come, as if it is the wave, we shouldn't just wallow in it and ride it up and down, and we shouldn't avoid it and run away from it either, but simply bend into it. Experience the pain, let it wash over you, but know that you will come out the other side. You will emerge on the other side and share with each other that you are going through that wave. You know, the Lamb of God did not suffer forever. His pain, it was only for a short time. And I wish that we lived in a perfect world. I wish we lived in a world where we could all just sit around and be happy. Wouldn't that be cool? But then when I go to an exhibit like that at the Cummer and I see that Mother of Sorrows, I realize that maybe God sees pain a little bit differently. Maybe it's not just something to be avoided, but something that teaches us, something that we move through and emerge stronger. And I think of that disciple, Elisha, watching his master be taken away from him for the rest of his life. He would never see him again, and feeling that grief and sadness, and yet emerging a prophet, emerging a man of God. So I tell you, the pain, it's coming. I don't know how or when or why, but the wave will come. And when it does, bend into it. Let it wash over you. Communicate and join hands with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Tell them what is going on. And know that there is always light at the end of the tunnel. There is resurrection on the other side of the tomb. And you will find life and joy again. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey to the by the brightest star light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ, be our light. For the people of God throughout the world, and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying,
Christ, be our light.
For the nations of the world, especially the nations of Africa and the Middle East, for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying,
Christ, be our light.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, for all who we love, those who live, and those who have died, we remember especially Ruth McNeilan. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ, be our light.
For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted. I invite you to speak their names aloud.
Let's see. Rodney.
Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God. For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God. I invite you to name your blessings aloud for the life and memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
For this community, for my family. Father in heaven, help us when suffering comes to bend into the wave, knowing that you too have suffered and that you will bring us through it and to the other side. This we pray in the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit that we may live and serve you in newness of life to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. If you're new to our congregation, please raise your hand and we will greet you and bring you a gift bag. But you have to put your hand up high so that the ushers can bring you the gift bag or they won't see your hand. So hold them up, hold them up, hold them up, up, up. Great, over here too, in the transept. Welcome everybody, so glad you're here. Our wonderful Wednesdays are continuing. Keep your hands up until the gift bag comes, guys. There you go. Our wonderful Wednesdays are continuing, and there's information about that in the bulletin. The church office will be closed tomorrow for Dr. King's birthday, but there is a number in case you have an emergency where I can be reached. I want to highlight a couple things for you. We have a famous biblical scholar coming into town. His name is John Dominic Crossan, and whether or not you agree with all the stuff he talks about, he is worth listening to. January 31st, a Friday. If you're interested, please try to come to that. It's something else. February 2nd is our annual meeting. It takes place right after this service. It is lunch, pizza, salad. We're done in a little over an hour. We elect our leadership, but I also talk to you about the cathedral and what's going on with our community and with the downtown. So I really want you to be there and hear about what's going on. We're going to be hosting some homeless families February 9th through the 16th. If you're someone who can cook or who wants to play games with children or is just willing to sleep here overnight to keep them safe, let us know. You can contact the church office or go on the church website if you'd like to volunteer. There's a trailer in our parking lot. Did anybody notice that? Our choir is going to have a rummage sale. So if you have junk, this is your chance to get rid of it. We will be letting you know more about it, but we want to fill up that trailer with junk. So we're going to store a lot of stuff in there to prepare for this rummage sale. And the choir is getting ready for that. So let us know if you have things you want to donate. I want to remind you that as you receive communion every single week, we have a wonderful thing, which is that there are people ready to pray for you personally in both of the side chapels at the altar rails there. So if you have anyone in your life who needs prayer or if you need prayer, please, after you receive communion, head on over there and let them pray for you. It's a very powerful, beautiful thing. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. A at your command all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.